From the KTOO newsroom, I'm Pablo Arauz Peña with your state and local news update. House lawmakers will be questioning a Department of Labor director this evening over its handling of COVID-related safety violations at two seafood plants.
This is a fact-finding hearing. We wanted to give the Department of Labor an opportunity to explain how it made these decisions that seem to be unprecedented in terms of blocking enforcement of workplace safety laws.
That's Anchorage Democrat Representative Zach Fields. He and his Labor and Commerce Committee co-chair scheduled the meeting after whistleblowers leaked documents to them showing that Department of Labor Commissioner Tamika Ledbetter blocked about $450,000 in fines that her agency's inspectors wanted to levy against Copper River Seafoods. Those inspectors say the company didn't protect its Anchorage workforce from COVID-19, a claim the company has denied since the inspection records became public. Ledbetter blocked the huge fine proposed for Copper Seafoods, saying there wasn't enough evidence or precedent to charge the company willfully violating COVID-19 safety standards. She also threw out citations for other safety violations inspectors found, including a repeat violation of a safety hazard the company had already been cited for after an employee lost most of an arm at a plant in Bristol Bay in 2018. Ledbetter also denied her inspector's request to fine Juneau's Alaska Glacier Seafoods up to $130,000 for COVID-19 safety issues. She will not be answering questions from lawmakers during the hearing, as an assistant says she is out of town and can't call into the meeting. Alaska's Whistleblower Act blocks employers from retaliating against state workers who report to public bodies on matters of public concern. Meanwhile, the Attorney General's office has weighed in, asking lawmakers to turn over any evidence of wrongdoing so that it can be investigated by the Department of Law. In other news, 3.5 weeks may not seem like a big deal in pandemic times, but for local businesses that depend on tourism in Juneau, it could make or break the season. The Juneau Assembly recently loosened travel restrictions starting May 1st, which is a win for tourism companies. I heard from the industry for this story. After the pandemic devastated business for last year's tourism season, Liz Perry at Travel Juneau says the changes mean a lot for local businesses that depend on tourists.
That was the big hurdle for us, and with that being lifted, we're seeing some daylight.
At last week's assembly meeting, Assemblymember Wade Bryson recommended rolling back emergency guidelines to May 1st instead of May 26th. He said those 3.5 weeks could make a big impact
on not only businesses, but tax revenue from the sales tax that is created from it. We need to start on the right foot, adding 3.5 weeks to what is going to be a very dismal tourism year can make a very positive difference.
But Assemblymember Michelle Hale objected on the basis of safety, especially with the threat of other COVID-19 variants, even if most residents are eventually fully vaccinated.
My concern is that we get it almost to the finish line and then we relax our restrictions. And with these variants, for example, we could get ourselves very close and then be in a very serious situation.
Meanwhile, Perry at Travel Juneau says she doesn't know how much business to expect, but she sees an increase in confidence for consumers who want to book flights. Although not everyone is so optimistic, the lifting of mandates will likely be helpful for businesses that serve independent travelers, but those that depend on cruise ships are still losing out. Serene Hutchinson is the general manager for Juneau Whale Watching Tours. She says 90% of her business typically comes from cruise ship passengers, and with the season on hold while Canada's waters are closed to cruise ships, she's already refunded thousands of dollars.
I'm not interested in giving any more refunds. And to be honest, consumers aren't interested in booking anything that they may have to try to get a refund for. Everyone's really burnt out on that.
Hutchinson says if some businesses are going to survive the season, they'll need to aggressively market to independent travelers. She says that even if every hotel and short-term rental was booked to capacity for 5 months, it would still only be a drop in the bucket compared to the amount of visitors Juneau is used to getting. But it's not all doom and gloom for Hutchinson. One-fifth of Juneau residents have already been fully vaccinated, and she says that's a good sign. So she's holding out for some business.
Well, to independent travelers, I say, come in, the water's fine. Let's go whale watching. And to my neighbors, I say, trust us. Trust us to do our best to look out for our home and our neighbors while also showing visitors a great, safe time.
Just like other local businesses, Hutchinson is cautiously optimistic about what visitors she can get, cruise ships or not. In Juneau, I'm Pablo Arauz Peña. In other news, the mainline ferry run from Bellingham, Washington through Southeast Alaska covers more than 1,000 miles over several days with multiple stops. So when a Haines couple lost their 4-month-old kitten within hours of departure, they didn't expect her to return home on a regional flight 10 days later. KTOO's Claire Strempel has the story.
Oh, yay. Are you eating
it?
No.
Oh.
Oh, you remember us?
The small, borrowed cat carrier sits on a chest freezer in the Alaska Seaplanes office in Haines. Spot the kitten is the only passenger waiting when Cassidy Tim and Blake Ward come to pick her up.
Oh. Hi, Spot. Her siblings are going to be so excited to see her and her mom. Her mom's been so sad lately. It's been awful. She just runs around crying all the time.
It's been over a week since Spot clawed out of the sunroof of their vehicle and got lost somewhere on the car deck of the Matanuska.
They're pretty little still, and they never weaned off their mom. She was actually the worst that was still nursing on her mom, so I was so surprised when she left the car.
The couple was moving back to Haines from the lower 48 with all their pets, including Spot's mom and siblings. Tim says she looked for Spot everywhere, even in the wheel wells of other cars. They made announcements on the ferry. She set kennels out with food and Spot's mom, and even left one of the dogs that Spot usually snuggles with tied up outside in hopes that she'd return. But she didn't. When they got home to Haines, Tim posted on Facebook. She knew Spot could be anywhere along the route, in Ketchikan, Petersburg, Wrangell, Juneau, or Skagway. And a few days later, her phone blew up with calls, texts, and notifications. Spot was in Juneau, about 6 miles from the ferry dock. A couple heard her crying under their porch and took her in, then took to social media to see if she already had a home.
I cannot imagine what she's been through, though, in these last couple of days. I mean, they've stayed inside their whole lives. They never went outside, and then now she was all exploring all of Juneau, which is a new place.
Tim's boyfriend pulled the car around so they could load Spot up. Their dogs jostled in the backseat for a welcome sniff. She hesitated for a moment before putting Spot down.
She's everything to us. All of them are. We love our animals. They're like our kids. So we're so happy to have her back.
No money was exchanged. They never met the folks in Juneau who found Spot or the volunteers who donated a kennel and drove her to the airport. The regional airline even flew Spot home for free. For KTOO, I'm Claire Strempel in Haines.
The Biden administration is supporting a controversial road through a remote refuge on the Alaska Peninsula that is home to migrating waterfowl. The Department of Justice filed a brief Monday supporting a land swap that would pave the way for a road in the Izembek National Wildlife Refuge. A federal judge rejected that swap last year, and the Biden administration this week threw its support behind an appeal process started by the Trump administration. Proponents say that the road would provide a reliable route for residents in King Cove to an all-weather airport in Cold Bay for medial flights. Opponents say there are better ways to ensure access to emergency medical care. And the U.S. Senate today confirmed a new attorney general and an EPA administrator. Today's votes on Merrick Garland and Michael Regan divided Alaska's senators. Lisa Murkowski voted yes on both, and Dan Sullivan voted no. Sullivan said on the Senate floor that he voted no on Reagan because he wanted commitments from him related to the Biden administration's environmental policies in Alaska. Sullivan said he wanted Reagan to commit to policies that continue development in the National Petroleum Reserve, Alaska, as well as more flexible approach to wetlands mitigation. As for why he voted no on Merrick Garland, Sullivan's press secretary says the senator has concerns about Garland's views on the Second Amendment. You can read more about this story at ktoo.org. This is KTOO News.